day of Krishna's beloved eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Again, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us, holy days like Janmashtami, Ekadasi, are the mothers of devotion for the devotees who properly respect them. So for the Vaishnavas, especially those who are in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, coming down from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this day is especially important, and it is celebrated with great pomp in Vrindavan, the home of Srimati Radharani, because the Vaishnavas understand that it is by the grace of Krishna's dearest devotee that they're able to serve the Lord. So everyone is very eager for the mercy of Srimati Radharani on her appearance day. So we'll try to speak a few words about Radharani, but we don't feel very qualified. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, who was the speaker, he only mentions Radharani briefly at the end. So we'll say something for our purification. So the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, he is Purna, he is complete within himself. And the nature of the Lord is that he is the supreme enjoyer. There are many understandings of God in human society. Some understand God as the supreme controller. Some may appreciate his quality of being all-powerful, Allah, or Yahweh, or Jehovah. There are many names indicating the opulence is the supreme absolute truth. But the Vaishnavas understand that these different opulences of the Lord, as they are seen within this material creation, are not as important as Krishna's opulence as being the supreme enjoyer with his devotees. The Lord can create just by willing. It is a function that the Supreme Lord does. Just like a man, he has his business. So he has his business affairs, but then he has his personal affairs. The business he carries on, but that which is most dear to him is his personal affairs with his family at home. He goes to work and then he comes home. So Krishna, by nature, he can do both simultaneously. He can enjoy with his devotees in the spiritual world, and simultaneously the activities of this material world can go on. Just like in the Bible it says, let there be light. So just by willing, Krishna can create this whole cosmic manifestation. There's nothing so wonderful for him. But what is wonderful is Krishna's transcendental pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world. So the Lord, being all spiritual, he is never attracted to anything in this material world. There's a class of philosophers who say that when God comes to this material creation, he comes to enjoy this world. Krishna comes only to deliver his devotees, actually. So Krishna is not attracted to anything material, but he is the supreme enjoyer. So what does Krishna enjoy? What is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of God? God did that purely spiritual pleasure potency. That is called Ladini Shakti. The Lord has many energies, and his pleasure-giving energy, the Ladini Shakti, the embodiment of that internal spiritual energy, that pleasure-giving energy of the lotus feet of Krishna, personified, that is Srimati Radharani. Just like in the material world, for enjoyment, two people are needed. No one can enjoy alone. Like there was that famous poet. He said, no man is an island unto himself. So everyone, in order to enjoy, they need two. So one seeks out friendship, society, and love in this material world. But Krishna is completely independent. He doesn't need to seek out anyone. He's Purnam, he's complete. So when the Lord, the Absolute Truth, desires to enjoy, he manifests his internal energy. And the embodiment of that internal energy, that Ladini Shakti, that is Srimati Radharani. So together, Radha and Krishna constitute the Absolute Truth. Krishna is one, and he becomes Radharani in order to enjoy. So in that sense, Radha and Krishna are simultaneously one and different. Because the Lord is never alone, he's the supreme enjoyer, enjoying with his various potencies and his devotees. And Radharani is the embodiment of that Ladini Shakti, or that pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. Together they are addressed as the Absolute Truth. So actually this is very confidential knowledge, because as we stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami only briefly remarks this fact. And it wasn't until the appearance of Madhavendrapuri that the recent Vaishnava history was introduced to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Madhavendrapuri appeared, he explained the Mahabhava, or the topmost ecstatic feelings of love for God. And he revealed that the person who manifests that Mahabhava, or the topmost sentiment of loving Krishna, that is Srimati Radharani. And that was further explained and developed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Radharani is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and she is described as Aradhana. Aradhana means to worship, and Radharani's name comes from this word, Aradhana, Radhe, from Aradhana, which means that she's the topmost worshipper of Krishna. She's the best devotee of the Lord. And she's actually in charge, because she's the best, she knows best how to please Krishna. Radharani knows best how to please Krishna. She is in charge of devotional service. So those who are approaching the Lord for devotional service, they take shelter of Radharani. So we don't go to Krishna directly. We approach him through his energy, Srimati Radharani, the personification of his Ladini Shakti Radharani. Therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare is Srimati Radharani. As Prabhupada said, that this chanting is exactly like the cry of a child for its mother. Mother Hara, Srimati Radharani, helps the devotee to achieve the Father's grace. And the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the Hare is addressing Srimati Radharani. My dear Radharani, won't you please engage me in the devotional service of the Lord? So that's why this day is so important. Because without the grace of Radharani, who's the topmost devotee of the Lord, we can't achieve Krishna's mercy. So when you go to Vrindavan, even more than hearing Hare Krishna, you hear Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, isn't it? Those who have been to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the land of Radharani. She was born in Vrindavan. There, you can go there and see the palace, King Vrishabhanu's palace, where Radharani appeared. And she's the queen of Vrindavan. And in one sense, she's considered even more important than Krishna, because without her grace, one can't achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. So the Vaishnavas, they always approach the Lord in this way, through his devotee. Like we say, Hare Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. This is the proper method of approaching the Lord through the mercy of Srimati Radharani. She's called Bhakti Devi. Bhakti means devotion. So she's the embodiment of devotion, and she bestows devotional service upon her worshipper. So why is Radharani the greatest devotee? Because she controls Krishna by her love. Krishna is the supreme controller. By definition, God is the supreme controller, the all-powerful supreme controller. But the Vaishnavas, they have access to some confidential knowledge that what is even more powerful than God? Devotional service to God. Because one can control God by devotional service. Krishna allows himself to be controlled by his pure devotee. That is the beauty of the Vrindavan pastimes. That the Lord, he sometimes becomes the child of his devotee, or he becomes the equal of his devotee. Although he's the Lord, he's all-powerful. In order to enjoy transcendental rasa with his devotees, he sometimes takes the inferior position. In fact, Krishna appreciates more taking the subjective position, the inferior position, than he does being the controller, because the rasa becomes even sweeter. Therefore, many great Vaishnavacharyas, they pray, simply let me enter into the mood of Vrindavan. That the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, or the mood of the Vaikuntha planets, I don't even want that. Please don't bestow upon me the mood of awe and reverence of the Vaikuntha planets, because that will inhibit my devotion to the Lord. Just like in the mood of awe and reverence, there's the servant and there's the master. So that is a relationship, it's an exchange. But certainly the relationship between equals is more intimate. As a friend, you can reveal your mind, you can joke with your friend, you can laugh with, you can do so many things you couldn't do with the master. You can't joke around with the master. You can't play with the master. But as a friend, you can. So Krishna, he is the supreme controller, he's the supreme master of all creation. But in order to enjoy with his devotee, he uses his potency of Daivi Prakriti, or the Yoga Maya, to spiritually bewilder his devotee into thinking that Krishna is his friend or his lover. And Prabhupada gave a very nice example. I don't exactly know who the personality was, but Prabhupada said there was once one big person in the English government, and some man had an important appointment with him. So this was in a big, big building and a very prestigious office, so forth, big oak doors, etc. So the man came for the appointment, and he was told to wait outside until the big man in the room was finished. So he waited and waited and waited and waited, and then he got a little impatient. So he thought, what's taking this man so long, this big, big man? He must be doing something very important. He must be meeting someone very important in his big office. So he opened up the door and he looked in, and the big man, the big government official, was down on all fours playing horsey with a small child. So here the big man who sits at the big office has a very prestigious position in the relationship as the master to the person he was visiting. He'd taken an humble position, or an inferior, so-called inferior position, in order to enjoy with his child. He got down and was playing on all fours. So Prabhupada uses this example that in order to enjoy the intimacy of devotional service, the Lord allows his devotee to think that Krishna is my child, or that Krishna is my friend, or that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is my lover. So, therefore the devotee prays to go beyond the mood of odd reverence and to enter into the intimate pastimes of Vrindavan. So that Vrindavan mood and those Vrindavan exchanges, they're under the control of Srimati Radharani. She controls Krishna with her love. Although Krishna is the supreme controller, she, by her love, controls even Krishna. So the Lord is called Madan Mohan. It means that Krishna, he's the attractor of unlimited cupids. In French we say cupidon. So he's the master, he's all the cupids. Cupid is the one who throws the arrow of love in the material world. But even Cupid is attracted to Krishna because Krishna is so attractive. But Radharani, she's called Madan Mohan Mohini, which means that she's the attractor of the attractor of the cupids. And by her love, she controls Krishna. So although Krishna is the master of Vrindavan, he's the cynosure of all eyes, he's the lord of Vrindavan. Actually, Vrindavan is called the abode of Radharani. Therefore we say Vrindavan Ishwari. Ishwara means control, so Ishwari refers to the female. So Vrindavan Ishwari, Radhe Radhe, as we were singing. Radharani actually controls Vrindavan because she's the controller of Krishna. So therefore the Vaishnavas, they like to go and live in Vrindavan. They like to go to live in Vrindavan because they feel they can achieve the mercy of of Radharani. And out of all the devotees of Krishna, Radharani's love is supreme for Krishna. There's a nice pastime described by Srila Prabhupada that one time Krishna was playing a joke on the gopis. And so he went and he hid into the forest, the Vrindavan forest. So all the gopis, they were feeling separation from Krishna. So they went looking for him everywhere. And when they came upon Krishna hiding behind the bush, in order to fool them, Krishna manifested as Narayan, four arms. So the gopis, they weren't attracted to Narayan. Again, the mood of awe and reverence. They wanted to see the original two-handed form of Krishna. So the gopis said to Lord Narayan, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Narayan said, "He went that way." So they didn't even recognize the Lord. They wanted to see where is Lord Krishna. So Krishna fooled them in that way. So then Radharani came along separately, and she asked the Lord was there, but the Lord, he manifested the form of Narayan, but because he was so much controlled by the love of Radharani, he couldn't keep that form, and he again turned into his form as Lord Krishna. In other words, he was bewildered by Srimati Radharani. Her love for him was so great. So Radharani, she has the vision of the Mahabhagwata, that is the most elevated devotee. So she sees everyone equally. And if anyone approaches Radharani to serve Krishna, even if he's the most fallen, she immediately bestows her mercy upon that candidate and recommends him to Krishna, saying, my dear Krishna, here is a devotee, he's better than me. This is Radharani's mood. Actually, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radharani, she enjoys more engaging the other gopis in Krishna's service than herself directly doing service. So see why she's considered the greatest bhakta. Her pleasure is increased a millionfold by making arrangements for the gopis to meet with Krishna than if she personally meets with Krishna. So because Radharani is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, she's very dear to Krishna. Therefore, if one tries in any way to reach Krishna through Radharani, then he will be successful. So how can we learn to serve Radha and Krishna, the absolute truth? So we have to first approach the bona fide spiritual master. Krishna has two energies, material and spiritual. And the spiritual energy is full of eternal bliss and knowledge, whereas the material energy causes ignorance, misery, and ultimately death. So although we're originally spiritual, we've fallen into this material energy. So we have to take shelter of the spiritual master. And the Srimati Radharani represents this compassionate nature of Krishna. Because she's in charge of devotional service, she bestows devotional service, she represents the compassionate nature of the Lord. Therefore, the spiritual master who compassionately appears in the material world for the sake of the fallen souls is considered to be a representative of Srimati Radharani. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one can obtain the mercy of Krishna. So, the spiritual master teaches us how to take shelter of Radha and Krishna. He's compassionate like Radharani, therefore it's very appropriate that today we'll be having initiations. His Holiness Giriraj Swami will be initiating 10 devotees into the Guru Sampradaya. So this is appropriate because as Radharani represents the compassionate nature of the Lord, the spiritual master is compassionate upon the fallen souls, so he engages them in the service of Radha and Krishna. That's about all I can say on Radharani. I don't really know much more. Do I have any more notes here? So again, it's a very important day that we may not be able to perceive or fathom the glories of Srimati Radharani, but we do know the Vaishnava philosophy that by her grace, we're engaged in Krishna's service. So we should try to absorb ourselves as much as possible in her transcendental pastimes and her transcendental qualities and her mood of serving Krishna. Radharani serves Krishna with pure devotion, Mahabhagavata. Actually, no one can actually really achieve the love that Radharani has for Krishna, but we can appreciate it and we can help her to serve the Supreme Lord. This is the mood of the Vaishnava. He can just assist in some way, helping the elevated devotees serve the Lord, then that is his happiness and his satisfaction. So just as Radharani takes more pleasure in engaging others in Krishna's service, so similarly, every devotee, he follows in the footsteps of Radharani, and he enjoys engaging everyone in Krishna's service. So that was shown by the Lord in his incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in the mood of Radharani. Krishna expanded as Radha, Ladini Shakti, to enjoy. But Radha and Krishna again became one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Gauranga, he comes in the mood of Radharani. He comes, Lord Krishna actually, he couldn't appreciate how much Radharani loved him. What was the nature of her love for him? So therefore, in order to understand that love, he took the form of Lord Chaitanya, the embodiment of Radha and Krishna, to experience her divine loving ecstasies for him. So in that mood of Radharani, he distributed the Sankirtan movement. So we should never think that this Sankirtan movement is some inferior leela of the Lord or whatever. It's a very intimate pastime of Krishna. In other words, everything Krishna does is significant. So when the Lord comes to this material world, what does he do? He engages in his transcendental pastime, and in this age he performs the Sankirtan pastime. So we should always remember that if it's good enough for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it should certainly be good enough for us. It's a great privilege. So that same mood is there. When Radharani sees that the devotees are performing the service in the same way that she does, in other words, bringing conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Krishna, that is especially pleasing to her. Therefore, Krishna states that in the Bhagavad Gita, that out of all the devotees, those who are preaching my glories, they're the special devotees. So that's what Radha and Krishna did in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although it's very difficult to fathom and understand and even speak about Radharani, we can rest assured that if we assist her in bringing souls to the lotus feet of Krishna, that we can get her mercy. Because it's described in the Nectar of Devotion that pure devotional service is very rarely achieved. I remember when I first read that as a new devotee, I was thinking, well, why not just give up? If it's very rarely achieved, pure devotional service, then what to do? But it is easily achieved by the mercy of Radharani. It's like if you want to meet some important person in the material world, practically speaking, if you're a common citizen, it's impossible. But if you know the right person, perhaps his friend or his secretary, then it becomes an easy task. So it's like they say in the material world, it's not what you do, it's not who you are, it's who you know. So we have to come in contact with Srimati Radharani through the bona fide spiritual master, who is also the compassionate mercy of Radharani. And by his grace, we can achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. So though we feel very unqualified, who are we to approach the Supreme Lord, especially after all our nonsense in this material world? We can't actually approach. So we approach the devotee and we try to render some humble service, and if that devotee is pleased upon us, then we can achieve the mercy of Krishna. So we serve Srimati Radharani through the spiritual master, and by his grace and her mercy we can be engaged in devotional service. Srimati Radharani Ki. So now we'll read some pastimes about Radharani. I think I'd first like to read her transcendental qualities. Also today we're preparing 108 preparations for her. This is important that we cook very nicely because Radharani is Krishna's favorite cook. Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities and Radharani has 25 transcendental qualities, but she can control even Krishna by them. Her transcendental qualities are as follows. She is sweetness personified. She is a fresh young girl. Her eyes are always moving. She is always smiling brightly. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. She is expert in the art of singing. She can speak very nicely and sweetly. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. She is modest and gentle. She is always very merciful. She is transcendentally cunning. She knows how to dress nicely. She is always shy. She is always respectful. She is always patient. She is very grave. She is enjoyed by Krishna. She is always situated on the highest devotional platform. She is the abode of love of the residents of Gokul. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. She is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. And she always keeps Krishna under her control. So these are the transcendental attributes of Srimati Radharani. And we'll read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Essential part of love of Godhead is called Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. Amongst the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. That's Chandravali. There's two camps. However, when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. Now, of course, that was seen during the Rasa dance when all the gopis were dancing with Krishna, and that Krishna selected Radharani as his favorite gopi, and he stole away with her. The body of Srimati Radharani is the veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, and the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental flavors. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and flavored oils. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way the body's dirt and perspiration are removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed, but when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Lord Krishna's affection, Her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description is based on the book known as Preman Bhoja Maranda, compiled by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Kaviraj Goswami's descriptions in verses 165 to 181 are based on this book. A translation of the original Sanskrit, as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reads as follows. The love of the gopis for Krishna is full of transcendental ecstasy. It appears to be a brilliant jewel, and enlightened by such a transcendental jewel, Radharani's body is further perfumed and decorated with kumkum. In the morning, her body is bathed in the nectar of compassion, in the afternoon, in the nectar of youth, and in the evening, in the nectar of luster itself. In this way, the bathing is performed, and her body becomes as brilliant decorated with different colors. The kumkum is red and the musk is black. Her ornaments embody the natural symptoms of ecstasy: trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning, perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. In this way, the entire body is bedecked with these nine different jewels. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by her transcendental qualities, which hang as a flower garland on her body. The ecstasy of love for Krishna is known as dhira and adhira, sober and restless. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Radhe's body and is adorned by camphor. Her transcendental anger towards Krishna is embodied as the arrangement of the hair on her head, and the tilak of her great fortune shines on her beautiful forehead. The earrings of Srimati Radharani are the holy names of Krishna, as well as the hearing of his name and fame. Her lips are always reddish due to the betel nut of ecstatic affection for Krishna. The black ointment around her eyes is her tricky behavior with Krishna, brought about by love. Her joking with Krishna and gentle smiling is the camphor with which she is perfumed. She sleeps in her room with the aroma of pride, and when she lies down in her bed, the transcendental variety of her loving ecstasies is like a jeweled locket in the midst of her necklace of separation. Her transcendental breasts are covered by her sari in the form of affection and anger towards Krishna. She has a stringed instrument known as Kachapi Veena, which is the fame and fortune that actually dries up the faces and breasts of the other gopis. She always keeps her hands on the shoulder of a gopi friend, who is compared to her youthful beauty, and although she is highly qualified with so many spiritual assets, she is nonetheless affected by the cupid known as Krishna. Thus she is defeated. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, taking a straw in his mouth. Indeed, he prays, O Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, just as Lord Krishna never rejects a surrendered soul, please don't reject me. This is a summary translation of the Premanda Bhoja Maranda, which Kaviraj Goswami quotes. So this, of course, is very transcendental knowledge, confidential knowledge. I remember one time we were with Srila Prabhupada in New Mayapur, and Prabhupada asked for questions. So I wanted to ask a question to Prabhupada, so I thought of something very deep or esoteric. So I said, Prabhupada, you told us that the pure devotee of Krishna, he's seeing Krishna everywhere. But then again, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear in the Shikshastakam prayers that how Lord Chaitanya prays in the mood of separation. So how can someone who is feeling separation, not seeing someone, see them everywhere? So we're talking about Vipralamba, very elevated knowledge. So Prabhupada thought for a moment, then he looked at me and he said, someday you will understand. He didn't want to comment on it because it was just so deep, you know. So here's this neophyte devotee just coming back from Sankirtan. So he said, someday you will understand. That's all he commented. So in the same way, when we read about these transcendental qualities of Radharani, we may not understand, but we just try to appreciate, we just try to hear. In this way, we become purified. pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very confidential. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude, fraternity, or parental affection. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. Without the gopis, these pastimes between Radha and Krishna cannot be nourished. Only by their cooperation are such pastimes broadcast. It is their business to taste the mellows. Without the help of the gopis, one cannot enter into these leelas. Only he who worships the Lord in the ecstasy of the gopis, following in their footsteps, can engage in the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Only then can one understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. There is no other procedure for understanding. This is from the Adi Leela. The verse is, Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to the materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Sri Swarupa Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation. But one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of oneness between the potent and the potency. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavata devotee. The very name, Radha, suggests that she is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls in the Iron Age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationships with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of the pleasure-giving potency, of the internal potency. We touched upon this point. The absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, bliss and knowledge in full. His internal potency is exhibited first as sat, or existence, in other words, as the portion that expands the existence function of the Lord. The same potency, while displaying full knowledge, is called chit, or sambit, which expands the transcendental forms of the Lord. Finally, the same potency, while playing as a pleasure-giving medium, is known as ladini, or the transcendental blissful potency. Thus the Lord manifests his internal potency in three transcendental divisions. From the Krishna book now, from the chapter entitled Delivery of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis. So after Lord Krishna had left Vrindavan, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan were feeling much separation from the Lord. And those who were feeling the most separation, of course, were the gopis. So Lord Krishna, he wanted Uddhava to see, witness this exalted love of the gopis for him. So he sent Uddhava as a messenger to Vrindavan. Krishna sent a message to the gopis. So there were two reasons. One, to inform the gopis that Krishna was thinking of them. And number two, so that Uddhava could witness this highest love of the gopis for Krishna. So Radharani's affection for Krishna is nicely explained here. Yadava understood that the gopis of Vrindavan were all simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna and his childhood pastimes. While talking about Krishna with Uddhava, they forgot all about their household business. They even forgot about themselves as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee which was flying there and trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger, Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took the bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk with him as follows. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from the flowers, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I have seen in your mustache the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna while he was pressing the breast of some other gopi who was my competitor. You are feeling very proud of touching that flower, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me. You are anxious to touch my feet, but my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't you touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be that Srimati Radharani was purposefully addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger Uddhava. Indirectly, she saw Uddhava as not only resembling Krishna's bodily features, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. She wanted to give some specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. She addressed the bumblebee, "Your master Krishna is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after taking a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit in another flower and taste. You're just like your master Krishna. He gave us the chance of tasting the touch of his lips and then left altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know why she has become so captivated by Krishna. She is attached to him, although she knows his actual character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than the goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messengers. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnumurtis, so his pleasure potency, Radharani, has innumerable expansions of goddesses of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Radharani continued, "You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you may make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends, and they are no doubt very happy in association with him. Because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna, they are happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick which you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from the greatest trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me. I can understand that you are very expert in reuniting two opposing parties, but at the same time you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, nor upon your master, Krishna. We left our families, husbands, children, and relatives only for Krishna, and yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. He has left us for lost. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot be long without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village along with innocent cowherd girls. He is in the aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty in making friendships with the young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there. But why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all the other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. His wonderfully enchanting smile is so attractive and the movement of his eyebrows so beautiful that he can call for any woman from the heavenly, middle, or platonic planets. Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, also hankers to render him some service. In comparison to all these women of the universe, what are we? We are very insignificant. In my opinion, Srimati Radharani continued, one should not hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of the nectar of his transcendental activities is poured into the ear, one immediately rises above the platform of duality, attraction, and rejection. Being completely free from the attraction of material attachment, one gives up the attachment for his material world, his family, home, wife, children, and everything which is materially dear to every person. Being disposed of all material acquisitions, one makes his relatives and himself unhappy. Then he wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or another species of life, even as a bird. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, his quality, his forms, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna. Please do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black-spotted she-deer in the forest, who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and again we are thinking of the rays of the nails of his toes. We are becoming more and more lustful for his association. Therefore, I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. This talk of Radharani with the bumblebee messenger and her accusing Krishna and at the same time her inability to give up talking about him are symptoms of the topmost transcendental ecstasy called Mahabhava. The ecstatic Mahabhava manifestation is possible only in the persons of Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have analyzed these Mahabhava speeches of Srimati Radharani and have described the different sentiments such as Gurunu, bewilderment, and Japa, Pratijapa, talking in different ways. In her is found the science of Ujjala, or the brightest jewel of love. While she was talking with the bee and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to separation of Krishna and was feeling ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform her about her talking against him. Krishna must have been very sorry to hear it, she thought. In this way, she was very much overwhelmed with another type of ecstasy. So we can stop there. If you'd like to hear more about Radharani's transcendental qualities, there's nice sections of the Nectar of Devotion, her transcendental pastimes with Krishna, or there's many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam you can read today. So we'll finish now and we'll set up the arena for the initiation ceremony. All devotees can participate. And also this evening, we have a feast for the congregation members, the service groups, who did so much service during the Janmashtami and Vyas Puja festivals. So this is appropriate also this day. It's like Srimati Radharani, her mood is to serve the devotees. She likes to engage others in Krishna's service. So it's very nice that we have so many congregation members and service group people who do so much service. When they come here, they're always serving the prasadam and doing all so much service for Krishna. So we would like to acknowledge that. So to do that, we're cooking a feast for them. And this time we're going to serve them. So in order to for everyone to show how much we appreciate these devotees helping us in our temple here, actually in other parts of the world we don't have this opulence. This is a real opulence to have so many devotees, families living outside who assist us in our preaching efforts to great opulence. So we want to serve their lotus feet by offering them this nice feast tonight. So we would like everyone to come and participate in this service. Not that they come and there's a few devotees and they end up serving themselves, but to acknowledge their service. We would like as many devotees as possible to come to the kirtan this evening. Of course, because they're working and have their responsibilities, they haven't been able to actually hear so much about this auspicious day and the philosophy. So we'll be presenting again this evening for their benefit. And then afterwards a big feast will be served. So we'd like to see the devotees step forward behind the table and serve the congregation members this evening. So let's see a show of hands who would like to serve Radharani like this. Raise your hand. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Oh,